We are going to start again from Tanna Rabbanan, right across to Taisus Ein, two lines down. Taisus Ein, two lines down. Tanna Rabbanan. Ushvatim Tzedek, you should judge righteously by Ish, Ubein Achiv, Ubein Geroi. And since it says Ushvatim next to Geroi, Mikanam Rav Yehuda, Gershon is Gaya Bebezin, Harz Ager. You need a Bezin. Ainul Ubein Atzma, Ein Ager. That means you need a bezin. Without a bezin, it's not a geirus. End of story. Somebody came in front of Rabbi Yehuda, and this person was an accepted yid. Very important to know that. This person was an accepted yid. He was known to be a yid. Nobody ever questioned his yadus. He lived like a Jew. And he comes and he tells Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a lie. Nizgayarti beini libein atzmi. You should know, I'm a geir, and I converted by myself. I never had a bezin. Now, had he not said a word, he would have treated him like a yid. His kids would have been kosher yidden, even if you hold like a mekiva. Rabbi Yehuda holds like a mekiva, the yesh mamzer mechayv alavim, that's what the Rishayim say. Even so, he would have treated his kids kosher. There's no reason to suspect. He's a regular yid. Comes to shul every day, puts on towels and food. He's a regular yid. But he comes into Rabbi Yehuda's bezin and he tells Rabbi Yehuda, listen, I'm a ger, but I did it myself. That means I'm not a yid. Which places into question, if you hold yesh mamzer mechayv alavim, that his kids are mamzer. Or even if you hold a mamzer mechayv alavim, gets involved with their geisha father and a Yiddish mother, is the kid pokim lakuna, and what's the status? Now he has turned the world upside down. His world has just been turned upside down. He says, I'm not Jewish. He's saying, I'm not Jewish. I walks into Bezin and says, Bezin, I'm not a yid. He verbalized it by saying he did the Geirus himself. But it's saying, I'm not Jewish, because Geirus needs a Bezin. He didn't have a Bezin. So that means he's not Jewish. So Yid walks into Bezin, says, I'm not Jewish. That's what happened. Now what is Rabbi Yehuda do? Dr. Gemara, the Amar Loi Rabbi Yehuda, Yashlach Edim, do you have Edim that you didn't have a Bezin? You're changing the world now. You have a Chazakah, your kids are walking around, and you're walking around as a Yid. You are now coming to destroy the assumption. You want to tell us that what we assumed is not true. You're a guy. That affects you. It affects your kids. It affects a lot of people here. Now, do you have Edom that say that you never had a bezin? That saw you go through the Geirus process without a bezin? If you do, then the Edom should come in and testify, then you're a guy. You know, consequences are consequences, but a guy is a guy. Oh, I did it myself. There was nobody around. Nobody saw me do my gerus myself. Nobody can say that I became a ger myself. Nobody knows. Now, it's his word against the chazakah that he has that he's a yid. What's happening now? Yes. Somebody should mute themselves. They're static. Yes. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't say. But obviously he was a Muchzik Yehudi. Whatever that takes to establish, I assume more than a day. I don't know. I'm speculative. I don't know. Amalai.
Rebbe, yes. Let's say it was Muchzik, but let's say then we know that we can prove that his mother's not Jewish. No one saw him, but I mean, let's say you know that for, you know, you can find out that turns out, look, this is my mother, and they find the birth certificate, and sure enough, his mother wasn't Jewish.
Meaning if we can prove that he wasn't a yid, so we destroyed the chazaka on that basis, and now he's telling us that it, I don't know, because I'm not sure. I can hear two sides to that story. I can hear two sides to that story. I can hear that, he's a mukhzik ger. He's been, well, I don't know what amount of time, but he's been living like a ger. That's also a chazakah, that he did it correctly. Or you could say that once we know he's a ger, that is not a chazakah. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's beferi somewhere. I just don't know.
But again, we said that if there's no Beis Din, the gerus is not good. And if you can, he shows you, look, this is my birth certificate, this is my mother. If, you know, then what's the question?
But he's been living like a Jew, let's say, for 5 years.
So what?
So that establishes that the Geirus was good. He's been living like a Jew. Meaning, he's undermining our Chazakah. But we've been walking around the last five years thinking he's a kosher Jew.
I don't see what
that
matters.
Now, by his word, he wants to destroy the Chazakah. Again, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It could be you're right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said he's been living like a yid, no questions asked. That's to save your... I wasn't sure what's not wrong in your case. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi, can I ask a similar? Maybe a similar question, maybe not. The chazaka here is based upon his. Did he ever tell anybody that he was a Jew? Did he just show up in Taliesin to fill in? What's the basis of the chazaka?
Basically, the chazaka has been living life like a frum Jew for about X amount of time. His wife is Jewish. His kids are Jewish. They assume they're Jewish, walking around, thinking that they're Jewish. Everybody's been living like a regular Jew. You walk into shul.
I'm curious about where the line is drawn here. He's a stranger.
Again, that was Rabbi Schutz asked. How long does he have to behave this way to establish that? I don't know.
The concept of chazaka in this instance, since it's based on something that, let's just assume this guy's telling the truth, aid him or not, he did do it himself. It just seems very vague to me why and when we declare a chazaka exists. I mean, a guy could
go. Why? I have no problem with this. It's an established assumption. It's a chazaka.
I don't, but that doesn't tell me when it's established or why it's established.
I don't know.
I don't know how long of
a behavior a person would have had to have that we say he has chazaka that he's here. Okay. I don't know the answer. Zamtik my writer. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. Yeshlach Edom, Amalei Lav. He said, Yeshlach Banim, do you have children? Amalei, hey, yeah, I have children. Meaning like this. When it comes to yourself, you now have to start acting like a guy. L'chumra. Not l'kula, but l'chumra. Because we have a rule called Shavi Anav Sheikhaticha Di Isura. That if a person says something is prohibited to him, for himself, we believe him. A guy walks in and says, listen, I know... I don't know, what would be a good case of Shavya Navshik Latika Di Surah? Two Adam say this is kosher meat, and this guy says, I know it's trace. So we say, listen, two Adam say it's kosher meat. You can't eat the meat, because you said you know it's trace. So for yourself, you're believed more than anybody else. L'chumra. You can't make kulas based on that, but for yourself, you believe l'chumra. It's called Shavya Navshik Latika Di Surah. You made it up, sir. You announced you're a guy. So you can't now be married to a Jewish lady. I'm sorry. You just banned yourself because you're believed about yourself. No, not l'kula. L'chumra. We trust you, l'chumra. We don't trust the guy to say he's a guy and therefore he can go be Mechal Shabbos. Now, he can go be Mechal Shabbos. That's his problem. But we can't believe him for that because he's going against the chazaka. But l'chumra, we have a rule, Shavya Napshachatichat Yisura. The person said, listen, I'm prohibited to be married to a Jewish girl. So we say, listen, we don't really believe you, but for yourself, you're believed. And therefore, you can't be married to a Jewish girl. Can I finish my explanation? But now you're changing your kid status. They have a chazaka. And you're not believed about your kids. They walk around as Jewish. They can continue to assume they're Jewish. You're not believed to tell us that your kids aren't Jewish. You're believed to say that you have to act like a guy. Let me explain that. We don't believe you're a guy. We believe you that you have to act like a guy. Because since you said you're a guy, you are now obligated to act like a guy. L'chumra. But you cannot tell us about anybody else. Who are you? How can you be believed to go tell Yidden that they're not Yidden? Even though it depends on you. Meaning, right, the kids, you're saying your kids are mamzerim. Because we're going now kind of shita, that a guy lives with a Jewish woman, the kid's a mamzer. So, you're telling us your kid's a mamzer. I'm sorry. You're not believed to say your kid's a mamzer. Rashi.
What if he says he's a ben chalutzer or ben gerusha?
I just say Rashi. Rashi, midchsev geiroi etol shvatem mikanam Rabbi Yehuda ger boy ben. Yes. Anybody have a question?
What if he says he's a ben gerusha or ben chalutza and claims before he was a kohen? What does it do to his children?
Something to my advice. The Gemara is going to go into that right now.
I have a question. If he was married to Shiksa and they converted together, but she died, but she had children, she died, 20 years later, can he say that his kids are puzzle? They both lived as Jews.
I believe.
They became Jews together without witnesses, without Beis Din. 20 years later.
He's not believed about his wife.
What?
He's not believed about his wife.
So his kids were born to a Shiksa, converted
yes.
the same way he did.
We'll try this again. First of all, the word chicks is not politically correct. It's non-Jew, Gaya. Not that I mind, but it's not politically correct. Number two is that a person walks into Bethan and talks about his wife. He's not believed. He's only believed about himself because of Shavya Napshi Chaticha Di Yisura. It's a special halacha we learn out from a pasuk. It's a machloikas. There's a tzais. A famous ksais, probably one of the most famous ksais, that talk about why is a person believed on himself? How can a person be believed on himself? We don't trust one person to say anything about anybody. All of a sudden, we believe the person to say about himself. So the Marit learns it's a neder. By saying this is treif, it's like you made a neder not to eat it. That's how the Marit learns. And the Tzitz argues, and we're going to go with the Tzitz's thing, it says there's a pasuk that says that a person's believed about himself to be strict with himself, based on a pasuk. Based on that pasuk, we trust the person only about himself, not about his wife, not about his kids, not about his grandmother, only about himself. It's a special halacha. A person says something that has consequences of strictness on him, he has to go that way. He says he's a guy, you can't be married to a Jewish woman. Sorry, you made yourself usher. You made yourself usher. It's not that we believe you that you're a guy, but as far as you're concerned, you told us you're a guy. You have to act like a guy. That's the halacha called Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Yisura. He made it usher to himself. It's only about himself, not about his wife, and it's not about his kids.
His wife has a chazaka, even though she died 20 years ago, that she was Jewish when she gave birth.
Again, how do we know she wasn't?
Okay. I hear you.
Yes.
So at this point, if he's ushered and has another...
Good question. What if he lives with this lady still and has another child after he told us he was a guy and he's not allowed to live with the lady? My guess is at this point that the kid will still be a Jew. He's not believed about anybody else. Frank the Gemara.
Rabbi, can I ask one more question? Rabbi?
Yes.
He's believed on himself, but he doesn't possibly his kids. But I hate to bring up Rabbi Greenwald again, but let's say he came back and he found out that from in the cemetery that his mother wasn't Jewish.
Rabbi Greenwald, yes.
You know, so if his brother, if you find his mother wasn't Jewish, so... So he's not Jewish, but don't worry about his kids. But what do you mean? Your kids are. How do you not affect the kids? What does that mean? You believe him, so he's not Jewish. So
again, we do not. I want to word it this way: we do not believe him that he's not Jewish. We believe him per himself. He has made himself non-Jewish to himself, not to us. Two Adam come in and say a piece of meat is kosher. He says the piece of meat is treif. Can he eat the piece of meat? No. Everybody else can eat the piece of meat. He can't eat the piece of meat. Two Adam told us it's kosher. Why can't he eat the piece of meat? Because he said it's treif. So as far as he's concerned, this piece of meat is treif. A person's believed to make something usher in himself. We believe him, it's treif for him, for nobody else. He has said it's treif. So, per you got to go with your belief. You say it's treif, don't eat it. Everybody else can eat it. and make a bracha rishayna and a bracha akrayna. And you can't eat it. Why? Because you said it straight. It's called Shavya Namshakatika the Isura. It's meek shilas. For instance, a person has a badika shila with his wife. He looks at it and says, this is for sure no good. Now, he should never say that. What he should say is, I don't think it's good, I'm going to ask a rav. But he said, I'm sure this is no good. And then he goes to the rav, and the rav says, it's okay. So it becomes a shailum paiski, whether we say, shavya nafshakatika di suri. You said it was no good. Now, there it is a bigger kula, because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He shouldn't have said it to begin with. Right? But it's a similar shaila. The guy said it's no good. So for you, it's no good. I hate to break the news to you. You're believing yourself. You have to walk around assuming that it's no good. Again, I'm not plasking that shaila, but the pais can talk about that shaila. That's why we tell people that get married, don't pask him. Ask. Don't be shavya nafshe. Don't say, yeah, it's for sure no good. Say, doesn't look good. I don't think it's going to be good.
No, it's like
because that, don't make a shot. Again, I'm not saying it's a shavya nafshe. I'm saying the pais can talk about it.
Ready?
New York, okay? I think actually, the person argues with Moshe, right? And he said, I'm sorry, Moshe says, good, right? This guy can't use the Arab.
Exactly.
No.
100%.
Boarding pass.
Should they shake the roof flow?
Okay, next. Yes.
No, I'm saying
I heard your question. You're all, you know, again. Okay. If a person says something is no good for him, it's no good. Yes.
Tippish.
Is there a question over here on the phone?
Yes.
I hear noise, but I don't hear a question. Fine, Tim. According to the Marit, L'chayri, it can be Matineta. But the Ksais argues in the Marit. This is one of the most famous Ksais. Even I remember that Ksais. Thank you, Sister Holland.
Rabbi, I do have a question.
Probably one of the first Ksais that I ever heard in my life. Yes.
Rabbi, here's my question.
Those are the two that are... Yes. I'm sorry? Is there a question on the phone?
Yeah, there was a question. I was waiting for you to finish. I'm sorry. My question is there an objective reality to whether someone is Jewish aside from how they declared themselves? I mean, I keep coming back to the children here. If the objective reality was that this guy did not have any Adam, or that and that somehow the kids were affected, the fact that they're not affected seems to me to fly in the face of an objective reality. I think that's what's kind of bothering everybody, but maybe not. Maybe it's just bothering me. Or is our halacha that the objective reality of any halachic status is affected by these principles, not by actually what happened?
Try to answer you. Let me try to answer you. You walk into shul this morning, and you see a guy, and you say, oh, we have 10 for minyan, and you're counting that guy. How do you know he's Jewish? How do you know when you go to shul this morning, and there's 10 people there, that they're all Jewish? Maybe one of them is a guy. The answer to that question is, there's a thing called chazakah. As the person who comes to shul and acts Jewish is assumed to be Jewish. That becomes the reality we deal with. Now, theoretically speaking, one of those 10 people, and I'm chas v'shalom, not spreading rumors about anybody. I don't even know who the 10 people are. One of those 10 people might not really be a Jew. He might be a guy. And you'll live, but you can't live that way. Halacha tells us that the objective reality is created by chazaka. That's what halacha tells us. It might be wrong. Let me just finish my answer. Halacha tells us that what you call objective reality is created by chazaka. So every single person who acts Jewish for whatever amount of time, let's make it up. 3 years. I just made that up. I don't know. And acts Jewish for 3 years and wears towels and so on and keeps Shabbos and keeps kosher and keeps tires and mishpacha and doesn't speak Lashon Hara and does all good Jewish things is a Jew. Now, it's established. It's the reality. comes in Mr. So-and-so, and he flies in the face of this reality that has been accepted. He's a person about himself, destroying a reality that has been accepted halachically. So, Shavya Navshech Atikha the Yisura says, a person can destroy a reality vis-a-vis himself. But he has no ability, as one witness, to destroy a reality that's been established. There's been established. A guy walks in and says, Reuven is not a Kayan. Excuse me. We've been living now for the last 50 years that Reuven is a Kayan. Who are you to tell us Reuven is not a Kayan? You're an Eid Echad. An Eid Echad can't change reality. We don't believe them to change what we call objective reality established by Chazakah. Here comes this guy, and he tells us he's not Jewish. Why should we believe him against 20 years or 5 years or 3 years of living like a Jew? He's established himself as a Jew, and now he wants to change an objective reality. So we say, listen, halachically speaking, we go by objective reality. It might be wrong. He might be a guy. He might be a guy. But halacha doesn't deal with that. Halacha doesn't say where he might be a guy. Halacha says reality has been established by Chazaka. His kids are walking around, assuming they're Yidden, raised like Yidden, learning like Yidden, keeping Yidden. There's no reason. Comes one guy who happens to be their father and says they're not Jewish. He's not believed. He can't change objective reality. Why is he believed for himself? Only because of a special halacha. Really, he shouldn't be believed about himself either. You can't change what has been assumed because you decided one day to wake up and change it. We say, there's a special halacha called Shavya Nafshech Atikha D'Yisura, that if you say something is usher, we have to consider it usher for you. Not because we really believe you. It's that you have to believe yourself as far as you're concerned. That's the halacha. So I hope I answered your question.
So the minyan example is perfect for me, because what we're saying is not that the kala is exempt from having done something wrong by davening, by declaring a minyan and saying Kaddish and doing whatever. We're saying, in fact, there was a minyan created. There was a minyan created. That became the objective
fact
reality.
Fact is established by Chazaka. That's the
right.
We say halacha tells us the fact.
It's not that I'm exempt.
Halachic fact, even though it might not be a real fact.
Well,
halacha tells us this is the way we live. Halacha tells us that this is the way we live.
Did the person coming into the minyan create a minyan? Did that create a halachically objective reality now?
Act. He did. And that's why when we have 10 people, we dive in and say Kaddish and do everything, because the objective halachic reality is that we have 10 Jews here. Even though we have no way of proving it.
Okay, this is a chiddush for me. It's good to know. Okay.
So when two witnesses come afterwards, are they uprooting his chazaka?
Absolutely. Two witnesses can destroy everything.
I'm sorry?
Two witnesses can come in and say, this guy, we saw him be Megari by himself, he never went to a Bezin. He's a guy, his kids are whatever consequence. Two witnesses are believed. He is not believed to destroy a Chazak. He's not two witnesses.
Right, but after 10 years of davening and making the minyan,
witnesses tell us he's not Jewish.
So did the minyan exist till now?
Was there a good minyan till now? Personally, the minyan existed till now because we did the halacha. But now, we know that we didn't really have a minyan, but it's not our problem, because we did the halacha.
Okay.
You really want to know? We didn't have a minyan. Did we do an aveira? No, we did not do an aveira. We followed the Torah rules.
So we were Mekayim davening with a minyan for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do it. You're pushing me on something that I don't really know. The answer is no, you didn't daven with a minyan, but halachically you did, so you're okay.
Okay.
In reality, now we know one of them was Jewish. So we didn't have 10 Jews. But the bottom line is, you did what the Torah told you to do. You're only obligated to do what the Torah told you to do. The Torah told you have a minyan. So, you know, you get upstairs, you'll say, I davened with minyan. They'll tell you, no, you didn't. You said, yes, I did. I did what the Torah told me to do. What am I supposed to do? I did what the Torah had to do. But his kids are Jewish if there's Edom. Because Edom are believed to destroy a chazakah. Edom is the strongest evidence that we rely on.
But Rabbi, I feel like you just kind of...
And I'll bring this up, and I'm bringing this up this time. The Greenwald case. Right? For those who don't know exactly what we're talking about, there was a person in Cleveland that lived saying he's a Kayan for many, many, many years. After 50 years of his... He was older than 50. But whatever it is, let's say 50 years. He discovered his grandfather's keber, his father's father's keber, and it said Levi. So now he had a quandary. His mother had told him they're Kahanim. He never knew his father. He had very little contact with his father. His mother had raised them saying they're Kahanim. They lived like Kahanim. His kids lived like Kahanim. His grandkids lived like Kahanim. They duchened. They were Kahanim. They got the first Aliyah. They did everything like Kahanim. Then he went to his grandfather's kever, and it said Halevi. Now, what should he do? So after consulting with Paiskim, he was told that he's no longer a Kayan. That was considered evidence to remove the Chazakah of Kahuna. The fact that his grandfather's kever said Halevi. Wasn't so simple, but that was the psak he received. Who Paiskim? I think Rabbi Yashiv at the end, but I'm not sure. I heard him Shmuel, then I heard Rabbi Yashiv, I don't know. Yeah. Somebody Paiskim. Right? But there is a case where he had a Chazakah established over years. He was a Kayan, and nobody did anything wrong by listening to his Dukhaning, and he didn't do anything wrong by Dukhaning because he did what he was told, that he's a Kayan and established a Kayan. Now, it happened to be that he found evidence that it's not true, so now we know he was never a Kayan. The B'chayrim that had Pinyan Aben have to be renimta.
Why?
Because he wasn't a Kayan. The truth is, he wasn't a Kayan. Now, they never find out. They'll be good to go. When they get upstairs, they'll say, how are we supposed to know? We did what the Torah told us to do. How are we supposed to know if he's a Kayan or not? We did what the Torah told us to do. But if they do find out, they can't. Now they know. So now they have to change things.
Really? Really?
Let's put it this way. If a person daven with minyan, and 10 years later found out that 10 years of minyanim, he had one guy there, right? If there was a possibility of re-davening all the tefillos, he would have to re-daven all the tefillos. But there's no such possibility, so it doesn't make a difference. By Pidgin Aben, there's a possibility of redoing Pidgin Aben. Now that he knows that the person wasn't a Kayan, he has to redo it. If he never finds out, he won't be held to task. He did what the Torah wanted him to do. I'll let you go collect the money. What do you want from my...
Is that true statement?
I have no idea. Yes, Chaim.
Rabbi, can I ask one more question about this?
That's no problem.
So I thought I had it until you answered a question of Reb Moshe there. So I'm davening with a minyan. I'm saying Kaddish for a parent. And it turns out that I had thought I had 10... Halakhically, I had 10, and then this person found out that they weren't Jewish. Did my parent get an aliyah? Did their neshama
Absolutely.
Get an aliyah at the moment?
Absolutely. You did the halakha. Halakha establishes whether they get the aliyah or not. You did the halakha. You did what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted you to do to give your parents an aliyah's neshama, and that is to say kaddish with a minyan. You did that. You're not responsible for what you don't know as long as you follow halakha.
So if the halacha created an objective reality, then it did.
It's an objective reality, correct.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say, exactly. Halacha is the objective reality. Don't think about it, right? Don't think about it, right? Now we have another problem. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a father is believed to disqualify his children. A guy comes in and he says, this son is my oldest. He's believed. The Torah said he's believed. Now what happens if we have a child here that's 2 years older? And this father walks in and looks at his second son, that we think is his second son, So that's my oldest son. The Torah says a father is believed to tell us who the Bechor is. A consequence of that is he's turning a kid into a mamzer. Because if he points to the kid that's 14 and says, this is my Bechor, the kid that's 15 is not his child. He's basically telling us, this was the first child that I gave birth to. And the other one came from some other man. That's what he's telling us. And the Torah gave him a right to say that the kid is a Bechor. Now, you could learn that the Torah only gave him a right to say a kid is a Bechor when we don't know. We have two kids here, we don't know who's the firstborn, who's 15, and who's 14, and the father tells us this is my oldest child. That has no consequences to anybody else. But Rabbi Yehuda learns the pasuk, that the pasuk is saying you believe to say it's a Bechor, even if you're flying in the face of what looks like reality. This guy's a 15-year-old kid, this guy's a 14-year-old kid, and you're saying that the 14-year-old kid is your Bechor, and the Torah said you believe. You don't have to agree to that. You could say you're only believed in a Bechor when we don't know who's older. But when we know who's older, we don't believe you. You identify which is the older one. The Torah gave you a nebanus. Right? It's monetary. The one you identify as Bechor is walking away with a double portion. The Torah said, father is believed. Fine. But Rabbi Yehuda extends that. He says the father is believed, even if he flies in the face of what's assumed, which is that this is his second kid. That means he's making his first kid a mamzer. That means we're trusting a father to disqualify his kid's kashrus. So when a guy says, I'm a guy, as a father, he's telling us his kids are mamzerim. Why isn't he believed? That's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda ever say you're not believed about children? But Tanya, we learned. Yakir, he has the ability to identify his Bechor. A person's allowed to identify who is his oldest child. But Rabbi Yehuda says that's even true when it flies in what we assumed. He can say, this is my Bechor, at the expense of making his kid a mamzer. And if he's believed to do that, he's believed to say, oh, this is my son, but his mother was a grusha. Because we see we believe a father to disqualify his children. So if he says, I'm a guy, he disqualifies his children. He's neman as a father. So how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda told him, you don't passel your kids? The Chachamim my main neman. The Chacham says we trust the guy to identify a Bechor when it doesn't fly against what we assumed is objective reality, right? But if it does, we don't believe the father. That's what the Chacham say. So, but Lemaisa, Rabbi Yehuda did believe him. So we see that a father is believed to disqualify his children. How can Rabbi Yehuda tell me not believe in his children? We believe a Jewish father about his children. You're a guy, you're saying. You're not believed about your children. You're telling us you're a guy. Right? If we believe you, you're a guy, then you can't talk about your children. Therefore, we can't disqualify your children. A Jewish father is believed about his children. You're telling us you're a guy. How can we believe you about your children? Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Yakir, Esabchor ben Asnua Yakir. Yakirenu lacherim. She ain't bezin makiri nice. So bezin doesn't know him. Neman olav avaloyim is ebbe b'chor little b'shnayim to take b'shnayim. Ben grushuhu v'kayin choluhu. Ve'ein noidis oiv v'kachav. Hoyu b'nechem u'kzakim b'kashrus. Your children are assumed kosher. Ein ata neman lohod aleim alabaitlam. You don't have the rights of a father if you're a guy. Rights of a father if you're Jewish. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say you're a guy and pass to your kid. Because you're saying you're a guy, you're not believed about your kid. And if you're saying you're Jewish, then you're not a guy. You can't have it both ways. And therefore, your kids are kosher, because nobody has told us they're possible that we believe. How about yourself?
Rabbi, why is it a
goy
belief? Or just because he's a goy, he's not believed?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't a goy
believed?
Just because he's a goy, he's not, just because he's a goy, he's not believed?
Let me ask you, without this chiddush of Yakir, would you believe a father to say his kid's illegitimate?
No.
You believe a guy to walk in and say, this kid's illegitimate? Who is he? Again, I think what's happening here is, we're giving an eight echad, we're giving one person a lot of credibility. The Torah doesn't give one eight credibility. The Torah doesn't allow one eight come destroy something that's been established by a chazakah. If one aide came in and said somebody's not a Kayan, we would throw him out. Who are you to say he's not a Kayan? He's been walking around like a Kayan for 20 years. Who are you? Aide Echad? We don't believe you. I think everybody's bothered by the fact that here's a guy testifying. Yeah, but he's one aide. At best. At best, he's one aide. We wouldn't believe a father to say his kid's illegitimate. The kid's been walking around like your kid for the last who knows how many years. All of a sudden, you want to illegitimize him? Who are you? You're not believed against the Chazaka. Teretz says the Torah wrote a chiddush that a Jewish father can make his kid illegitimate. The Torah wrote it by saying, identify your Bechor. This is my Machlokes, how far that goes. The Chachamim say that means if we don't know who the Bechor is, they look to us of equal age, so you can tell us he's the older one, right? Sometimes that happens. You have two kids here that you don't know who's older than whom, right? One's taller, one's shorter, well, you don't know. So the father can say, this is my older son. Right? But if we know somebody is older and he comes in and he says about his second son, this is my older son, who says he's believed? Rabbi Yehuda says he's believed. Rabbi Yehuda understands the pasuk that the Torah gave a father a right to delegitimize his son. And that's a chiddush, but that's only by a Jewish father. The minute he's a guy, goodbye. That's Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak's answer. Ravina Amar Hachi Kamerle. Ravina says he is believed about his children. You know, he is believed about his children, even if he's a guy. But he asked him as follows. Yeshlech banim hein. He asked him, you have children? He said, yes. He said, yeshlech bnei banim, you have grandchildren. So he told him, amalei hein. Yeah. Amalei neman atam lipsu b'necha, b'yata neman lipsu b'nei b'necha. Had you not had grandchildren, we would believe you about your children. But we do not believe a grandfather about his grandchildren. That means, according to Ravina, Reuven walks in and points to his second son, who's 42, and he says, you're my oldest son. And there's a 45-year-old who has grandchildren already. And he's now delegitimizing his 45-year-old, which Rabbi Yehuda believes him. But now, he's not only making this kid a mamzer, he's making his grandchildren mamzerim, that he's not believed. The Torah gave him a special power to be believed over his children. And the future children of that children would be mamzerim. But if the children already have children, the Torah never gave them the power. Yakir is a very limited halacha. It's only as it affects directly his child and nobody else at this point. But if there are grandchildren here, the Torah never gave them the belief. So the 45-year-old is the Bechor. Even though this father is claiming the 42-year-old is the Bechor. And he's delegitimizing his 45-year-old son. But since that 45-year-old son has children of his own, and the grandfather would be delegitimizing them as well, there's no halacha of Yakir. That's what Ravina says. He limits the halacha of Yakir about a person's children, but when they're grandchildren, he's not believed even on the children. It's Xeris HaKosov. No logic to this. It's Xeris HaKosov. The Torah says a father can delegitimize his child, but if there's grandchildren, he has no right. Dr. Gemara, Tanya Kahakanami Hakir. He's believed about his young son, what does that mean? It has nothing to do with age. If he has children, the grandfather is not believed. Even about his child. There's no children, he is believed. So we have two answers. One is to say, the guy says he's a guy, he's not believed about his children. And one is to say, even if he is believed about his children, but there are grandchildren here, and therefore he's not believed. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Lipsos Benecha, the Nafkala Miyakir. Biatanema Lipsos Bene Benecha. Zok the Gemara, the Hilkus, the Kavasa, the Rev Nachman. We paskin like Rev Nachman, that even if there are no grandchildren, we don't believe him here because he's a guy. Fret the Gemara, the Tanya Kavasa, the Rev Huravida. We had a Brisa that says it depends on grandchildren. That's true. It does depend on grandchildren. When you have a Jewish grandfather, he's not believed about his grandchildren. But over here, you don't need that. He's a guy. He's not even believed about his children if there are no grandchildren. Rashi, Even if there's no grandchildren, he's not believed. I batanya karabina, the naman who albanai cut and chain loybanim, because how could I think, and we thought, the homas needs to be gerish above amagirani kamairi, that Bryce is talking about our case. And the answer is no, that's talking about a regular case. The yakir tani. Going on to when a person recognizes, establishes who his oldest one is. The tani. Shame to them, other members that beneath me pchar, kachnam loymer is beneath them and grusha. Loktani and a regular Jewish grandfather, Nemeloimer Zabini Ben Grusha. Right? By Loktani, the Nemelo Akutin, the Yisrael, who be Eshla Eidus. Right? He is an aid. But Torah Menasa Abenai. The Torah gave him special rights over his son. Loya Ben Benai. A Ger is not even believed on his own son to say he's Goyim, that he's a guy, they ain't Eidus Levin Kachavim. A guy, once he says he's a guy, he's out of the picture. And that's how we pask. This is practical Hilchus Geirus. This Geir Shabal is Geir Bismanazeh. A Geir that comes Bismanazeh, he says, a guy comes and says, Rabbi Tzai, he walks into bed, and I want to become Jewish. I remember why we say, Maro Shabal is Geir. Why in the world do you want to become Jewish? Iyati Adeya, don't you realize, Shisrael Bismanazeh, that Yidden in this world today, Zavuyim, are in pain, you're going to have to help me with translations here. Afflicted, tchufim, pushed around, oppressed, tchufim, umaturavim, harassed. Okay, he did a good job, Archko. He had a good thesaurus. Basically, we get picked on. The Yisurim ba'amaleya, and we're always suffering. It's always the Jew, right? It's always the Jew. Hail Hitler, right? It's still going on. We're always picked on. Why in the world do you want to join a nation that's an oppressed nation? If the guy says, I'm aware, Eini Kedai, I am not even worthwhile to be a Jew. Meaning, I admire the Jewish people to the point that I don't consider myself worthwhile to be Jewish. I wish I could attain that status. Mekablin Isa Miyad. At that point, we say,
hello?
Okay. I'm sorry, I gave one too big of a bang. Today, we're not so fast in the Makabal Degarim because we're afraid of ulterior motives. The Gemara is talking about there that they had no reason to accuse the guy of ulterior motives. He says he knows the Jews are a downtrodden people. He knows the Goyim don't like us. He wants to be Jewish anyway. We accept him. We tell him some easy mitzvahs and some strict mitzvahs. And the Mefarshim asks, why are we telling him the easy stuff? The answer is, it's a very important part of being a Jew. And that everything you do, there's a right way to do it. That's mitzvahs kalas, right? The way you tie your shoelaces have a halacha. Right? There's two parts to becoming a Jew. There's some stuff that's severe, Shabbos and a lot of things that are very severe. But then there's daily life with very simple things. But if you're a Yid, everything is governed by halacha. So part of what we tell them is, hello, everything you're going to do now, there's a Jewish way of doing it. You eat, you're going to have to make a bracha. You're going to pick up a package in the store, you're going to have to check for the OU. Right, they paid for this ad.
No.
I'm sorry, Cleveland Kosher. Right, you... you tie your shoelace, right? That was Bianco Drillman's famous line. He asked somebody, what would you do if you found out you're a guy? What would you do? So the guy said, I'd go to McDonald's. He said, I would tie my right shoelace first. Meaning, that is, everything we do is governed. That's Medina, it's a mitzvah's kalas. We tell them the little mitzvahs. Judaism covers everything. Mitzvahs chamuras. And you should know there's also some severe things. And the Gemara is going to explain that in Maaserani. We tell him about leket shichu peya Maaserani, the sin of not giving it. And the Gemara will explain why is that so important to us that we have to teach the guy about these things. And we tell him punishments. Skila, karas. We tell him. Have you a day you should know? Before you become a Jew, you have to honor karas. You eat chaylev, you don't get karas. Kalal to Shabbos, you have to honor skila. You mechal Shabbos, you don't get skila. V'achshav, now that you become Jewish, akal to chaylev, panash to karas. Honor karas. You're going to eat chaylev, it's karas. Kalal to Shabbos, honor skila. They tell him the consequences. This is not a joke. Ukshem shemadiyanayis ha'anchen shomitzis, kach madiyanayis ha'matin skarin. At the same time, we tell them there's a big benefit in being Jewish. You can get Olam Haba. You can get Gan Eden. Now it's attainable. You know, you should know. It's not easy being a Jew, but there is reward for being a Jew. I remember, have you day? Olam Haba in Asalim Tzadikim. Olam Haba is for Tzadikim. And it's a difficult path to follow. Not easy to be a Tzadik. Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Ashi, schufim shvelim akfuyim, low and bent, kame schufim kise, kvias kli. Bent. Veini kedai, veini royli shtata b'tzarasa. The guy says, I don't feel worthwhile to be part of such a great nation. Mi yitei v'askalaka, halavai ashi b'zaycha. Umaydiin ha'itzay v'kama mefarish time at the kulam asnisan, the Gemara is going to go through each point of this braisa. V'yitzrol b'zman hazeh, we tell them, you should know, the Bizman Hazeh, the Rabbeinu Shalom is keeping us very balanced. Because we can't handle too much good, because the Eitzahara takes advantage of people that have it too good and gets them to go off the D by forgetting about the Rabbeinu Shalom. And at the same time, too much punishment doesn't work for us either. So you should know, it's not like you're Jewish, you're going to make it big. In financial terms, or in Eilam Hazeh terms, the Rabbanism does not necessarily shower Jews with so much good. Rashi, v'loy roi v'atayva, fishi yetzar ha-magzer achreim, because the yetzar picks on them, because I mean a mistake to sukkah, that if a yid has a lot of money and things like that, he becomes more susceptible to being persuaded that it's kaychi v'aytzim yadi, it's all about me. V'shem v'tazuch daitan aleim v'yachtu. But v'im ha-arben Allah, finished. We did our piece, don't overdo it. Don't sit there and frighten him. You said your piece. You told him what being a Jew means. You explained to him some of the kalas, some of the chamuras. You explained to him that being Jewish is a lifetime commitment. You explained to him consequences of einish. You explained to him consequences of schar. Stop! Because we don't want to scare him off. If he really wants to be Jewish, why should we scare him off? Rashi, ve'imar malem dvarim la'ayim olav shi'efresh. Ve'imidartikin olav. You don't have to get into detail. You don't have to explain exactly how skila works. And how straightforward works, you don't have to sit and give him a horror movie. That's not the point. You got the message across, he heard you, he wants it anyway, it's good enough. We'll continue Mitzvah Shema Monday morning. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.